Welcome, everybody. It's the return of the Slasher Sanitarium podcast. I am your host, Troy. I am back from hiatus, and I'm doing something a little different this time. I'm going to alienate the rest of a good part of my audience by talking about a movie that is currently in theaters. Now, typically what I do is I review things that you can actually watch in the comfort of your own home, whether through Netflix or through illegally downloading things or just owning the DVD yourself. Or, you know, go into one of those little red box things outside. But today, I'm going to talk about a movie that is currently in theaters, or if you're listening to this some way down the line, on DVD, I'm going to be talking about It. Now, this movie is breaking all sorts of records. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but we're going to get to that. But first, a little housekeeping, because the Slasher Sanitarium podcast is brought to you by the Questionable Endeavor Network. Visit questendnetwork.com for information on all the podcasts available under the Questionable Endeavor Network banner. Visit the website questendnetwork.com for articles, streaming videos, and more. All right, so we start off the movie with a creepy child laugh. Not cool, movie. Not cool to start a podcast off with some creepy child laughter either, but I'm going to do it anyways. It's raining out as we slowly rotate around to a lovely two-story home. Someone slowly rips off a piece of paper and folds it into the shape of a boat. We see someone has drawn a smiley face in the window, because this is a happy movie. Georgie asks if his brother Stutterin' Bill wants to come with him, but Bill's sick. Bill asks his brother to grab the wax from the cellar, and we see that it is October 1988. We get our only shot of the Denborough mother playing a piano as Georgie reaches the cellar. We hear some noises before a jump scare of static on the walkie-talkie. Georgie says, "I'm brave," before heading downstairs. Georgie talks to himself a lot during this scene, but finally grabs the wax before he sees two glowing eyes staring at him. But it's actually just two light bulbs. Thunder cracks, and he goes running upstairs. We cut over to Bill painting a layer of wax to make the boat float. He explains that you always call a boat she, because reasons. Georgie then runs off to his death. Georgie gives a final wave before dropping the boat into a flooded street. It races down the road, and thankfully, since it's 1988, child-snatching pedophiles have not been invented yet. Georgie ducks one sawhorse before slamming his fucking face into a second one because more reasons. What was the point of him blasting his face against that thing? I mean, I'm all for having, you know, physical violence against a child, but it didn't really make any difference. So then we see the bloat. We see that the boat then flies into a sewer drain. Georgie goes over to it to try to retrieve it, and he looks down and sees two glowing eyes suddenly appear. "Hiya, Georgie," is the first words that Pennywise says in this movie. So, I'm going to divert here a little bit and say, fuck Tim Curry. I know people love the miniseries and Curry's Pennywise and everything of that, but this is a much better portrayal of a villain in a movie. Because Tim Curry was kind of a joke. And I can compare this scene from the miniseries to this scene in the movie and tell you instantly those first words coming out of Bill Skarsgård's mouth creep the shit out of me. And that's exactly what I want from Pennywise the Dancing Clown. What I don't want is what we get from Tim Curry. So Pennywise asks if Georgie wants his boat back. And then Pennywise asks him if he wants a balloon. As he talks, he drills, and we see that his eyes are a little offset. Now, this is actually not special effects. Bill Skarsgård has a lazy eye, which he can control when he acts, but he decided to let it wander for this role. Pennywise drifts between being serious and funny here, which I thoroughly enjoy, and he laughs, and then his face goes slack, and he growls. I feel that Bill is playing Pennywise as a cosmic being that is pretending to be a clown, which is what the origin of the thing actually is, but he can't quite keep up that illusion for too long. Whereas Curry kind of played a clown who just happened to be supernatural. The Pennywise in this movie is clearly not a man, has never been one, and is simply using this appearance to try to lure children in to their deaths. I much more prefer that we just go ahead and continue to believe that this dude is not a person. And I don't feel like this is a dude in a costume or in face paint. You know, Tim Curry always felt like he's just a dude in face paint. So anyways, yeah, go back and watch that shit And if you still think that Tim Curry is a better Pennywise, because it doesn't hold up. Go back and watch it. Or better yet, maybe I'll go back and watch and I'll tell you how fucking terrible it is. Anyways, so Pennywise says Bill is going to kill you, which has a nice double meaning to it. He tells Georgie to tick it. Georgie reaches in and Pennywise fucking bites his goddamn arm off. Georgie cries out in pain as Pennywise drags him into the sewer. I was not fucking expecting to see a six-year-old get their arm ripped the fuck off. It's a great way to start this shit off. And I will say that, you know, in the book, this is probably my last time I reference a lot from the book, but in the book, Georgie does in fact get his arm ripped off. The big difference here, of course, is that there are people who actually see it happen. Whereas this one, I mean, we get kind of a hint, but the person doesn't see it actually happen. So, yeah. So, River of Blood comes out, and we are down one person. June 1989, as we see a bunch of sheep getting pushed around a pen. Mike, the lone black kid in this movie, is being asked to murder, death, kill this sheep. His grandfather walks up and fucking offs the thing in front of him, and then Mike takes offense to his grandfather trying to compare him to his father. Cut to the introduction of Richie and Eddie. Eddie is talking very fast about Stan having to be in a room full of Jewy guys and saying some Jewy stuff before they cut the tip of his dick off. Richie, the kid from Stranger Things, is about to say something before Stan shows up. Richie makes a where's the beef joke as a group passes by our bully gang. Richie wonders if they will sign his yearbook and apologize for taking a hot dump in his backpack. Greta walks by and into the women's bathroom. Bev is in there smoking. Greta calls her a piece of trash, and another cunt dumps wet garbage on Bev. Bev also has a key around her neck, which is never explained. The boys dump out their book bags into the garbage, and Richie says they should try tickling their pickle. Yeah, that's a line in this movie. Richie starts off not great in this movie, but his dialogue gets way better. Much, much better. Richie is going to try to take up street fighting, which Eddie wonders if that is the way he plans to spend his summer, which Richie responds, better than inside your mother. See? Told you. Gets better. Bill reminds him that they had planned to go to the Barrens. The boys see Betty Ripson's mom. Apparently, Betty is also missing. And Bill says that Betty is not dead. She's just missing. Because, of course, he wants to believe this. Because otherwise, his brother would be dead. Richie is dropped by a mullet-headed bully Bowers. Bowers pretends to stutter and says that Bill got a free ride because of his brother, which is a very nice thing for a bully to do. Then he calls him a bunch of faggots. Cut to Ben grabbing his bike. He drops his model as Bev walks up, and then his bike. Bev tells him that Henry is on the other side of the school, then grabs his headphones to hear what Ben is listening to, and it's New Kids on the Block. Bev offers to sign his yearbook, and we see that nobody has signed his yearbook. Bill is walking his bike home, and they show us that he has silver written on the side. Why? Who fucking knows? They don't explain it. Bill's dad is upset because Bill's made a model of the sewer system to show that Georgie would wind up in the Barrens. Bill's dad reminds Bill that Georgie is dead. Oh, he's fucking dead, all right. Unless he can, you know, survive months without eating, of course, and not having an arm. We see Derry in all splendor as Mike rides his bike to Quality Meats. It's a lame-ass name for a store. He has a delivery for them. The door to Quality Meats bangs open before we hear the sound of fire and a bunch of burnt hands reaching out and trying to escape and yelling for Mike. The door then bursts open to show someone hanging from a hook. Then Pennywise waves at him. Suddenly the bullies roll up and almost commit a hate crime. So let's take a second to go over the ground rules of Pennywise's abilities. So Pennywise is a shape-shifting creature from a dimension of darkness and gas. But he is a finite creature. This means that Pennywise cannot be in two places at once, and he cannot split himself into two entities. He is also able to project visions onto people. He does not leave the sanctity of the sewers or close by where the sewers are, so anytime we see him or one of his supernatural scares, he is not actually there. So it's only when we kind of see him near the sewers, near the well house, you know, that it's actually him. Otherwise, it's just a projection. For instance, he's not here during this scene. This is just a vision. He's not actually back there waving to him or anything like that. His visions, they can't really harm people. We never actually see them touch anybody, but he can kind of interact with little objects here and there. Just remember that for later scenes. Also, Pennywise feeds on human flesh and garners power from fear, so these visions are his way of salting the meat. He's gaining power from them being scared, but also getting them ready to eat later. Back in the movie, we have Stan saying some Jewy stuff. Their words, not mine. His dad is a dick to him because he is having trouble speaking a dead language. Stan covers his eyes as he walks past a picture of a fucked up woman's face. Stan then stops and tilts the picture back. We hear the picture fall from the wall as Stan puts the Torah back onto the shelf. Stan proceeds to pick up the painting and puts it back only to see that the woman is now gone from the painting. He then hears a door open, and we hear some flute music floating through. Behind him, the woman drops her flute. Stan turns around to see her, and then he hauls ass away. As I said, this is just a vision, and Pennywise is not actually there. So he's able to open a door, he's able to knock paintings out the wall, but he's not really able to inflict pain on these things. So he's not there to catch Stan. He's there to make Stan a little bit more afraid. Cut to the kids raiding Eddie's mom's cupboards, which, given the size of his mother, might actually be good for her. We hear the children's program for the first time in the background here, but it's actually pretty normal. A little distortion, but otherwise nothing too out off the wall. Eddie's mother is making Eddie give her a kiss. Then Richie asks if she wants one from him. Cut over to Ben in the library writing a postcard to Bev. The librarian then drops a book on the table. That's really loud, bitch. You're in a library. Ben starts to flip through the book, and we see the Pennywise the Dancing Clown cart that'll be important later on in the movie. Then we get to the news of an Easter fire, which killed 88 kids, as well as a problem in the black spot. We see a series of pictures that keep getting closer and closer and closer every time he turns a page, which eventually reveal a severed kid's head in the tree. First of all, I want to know who took that picture. Second of all, I want to know which editor was like, let's put a picture of a kid's severed head on the fucking front page of a newspaper. The book goes into more detail and gives this kid a name because it's Stephen King, but in this we're just going to be like, all right, this kid. So we hear a kid laugh and a red balloon floats past behind Ben. Of course, Ben decides to follow it because he wants to die. He sees a blackened smoking Easter egg on steps, then proceeds to see a trail of them. Well, better follow them. He makes it to the back room before hearing more laughter. He then hears an egg fall on the stairs. He turns around to see somebody slowly walking down the steps before it's revealed to be Old Headless. He drops the rest of his eggs and chases after Ben. We then hear Pennywise shout, "Egg Boy," which is not a good line. And then we see that that Old Headless has now turned into Pennywise. Then Ben runs into the old loud bitch before running the fuck out of there. Ben proceeds to fast walk past Bowers, who asks him where he's getting off to. Bowers and the rest of his gang then drag Ben up to the bridge, and they lift up his shirt. A long-haired bully Patrick drops a Michael Jackson Getting Burned reference, and Bowers punches Ben twice. He decides he will carve his name into Ben. Now, Henry's fat friend does not seem too keen on the idea of Henry carving up Ben, but blonde fucking Draco Malfoy looking guy seems to be all for it. Ben kicks him and then rolls down the hill. The bullies reach the bottom before Henry tells him that he lost his knife, and that his dad will kill him if he doesn't find it. He tells the rest of them to run off, but while he and Draco decide to look for the knife. Ben keeps running and reaches the river. We see a sewer opening, so we know we're now in Pennywise's area. Cut to the rest of the kids reaching the sewer, and Richie asks if Eddie uses the same bathroom as his mother, and says he probably has crabs. Bill and Richie enter the sewer as Eddie and Stan hang back, and Bill proceeds to find a shoe, and he sees that it's Betty Ripsom's shoe because, thankfully, her parents have marked every single piece of her clothing with her name. Richie says that Betty is running around the tunnel with only one shoe, and that's a bummer. Bill and Richie are ready to go find Betty, but Eddie and Stan do not want to go. But Ben arrives on the scene to share them from having a full-on fight, and we see that he is bleeding. Cut to long-haired bully Patrick reaching the sewer entrance. Takes out his homemade flamethrower, which is a lighter and I think a can of hairspray, or some kind of aerosol. He blasts a few flames to light his way deeper into the tunnel, and then he sees three or four dark figures who whisper, "You found us, Patrick." He lights up another blast to see that they are all rotting corpses. One of them does appear to be Betty Rupsom, and then a couple other nameless missing kids that we don't know and never saw get taken down, because we only actually see one person die in this movie. We don't even see that. All we see is he get his arm ripped off and then he's dragged away. We actually don't see anybody die in this movie. That's kind of a fucking bummer. So they attack him. He goes running, and I'm not sure why his face got half eaten off screen, because I think that would have been fun to watch. He reaches a blocked up pipe as a red balloon with I Heart Dairy written on it flies towards him. It pops to reveal Pennywise, who then attacks him. And again, this happens off screen. The kids head off with Ben as Eddie talks about them getting AIDS. They arrive at Quality Meats, but there is no sign of Mike, who will miss about 40 minutes of this movie because he's black. Eddie grabs a bunch of stuff to help Ben, and we see Bev grabbing tampons for the first time. Or at least we're supposed to feel like this is her first time, but her developed chest says otherwise. That's gross, Troy. Why'd you say that? Eddie says there is a kid outside who needs help. Bev starts to hit on old pedophile pharmacist. He gets a boner as Bev puts on his glasses, and as she hands him back, she knocks over display while Adam West goes to pick up all of the stuff that she dropped. While he's doing that, the boys run off, and Bev decides to pocket a pack of cigarettes. Bill keeps watch as Eddie tries to help Ben. Bev walks up, and Bill tries to pay her. Bev recognizes Ben and drops a New Kids reference on him, asking him if they got the right stuff. Bill invites Bev to the quarry. Richie says that Bev's list of sexual partners is longer than his weighing, to which Stan says that's not saying much. I actually love the dialogue between the kids in here because it feels very natural, very real. I don't know that I swore this much when I was a kid, but I'm all for a bunch of kids swearing. The kids program is back and telling kids to go to the sewers and be silly as a clown. Bev arrives home as her father, who has definitely been inside of her, creepily seems happy that she's on her period. He feels up her hair and then lets her pass. We cut to Bev crying in the bathroom as she cuts off her hair, and instead of putting it in the garbage, lets it go down the drain, which is going to be really bad in a couple of months when they have to fish that shit out of there. Alright, so now things are going to get a little gross. Alright, the five boys are all standing around in only their underwear, which is already kind of... but they're all hesitant to jump into the water. Bev arrives, strips down to her underwear, and jumps in. I will take this moment to remind everyone that this actress is only 14. Well, she's playing a 13-year-old, but she's only 14. So far, nothing terrible, a couple of questionable things. I mean, having a bunch of, 13, 14-year-old kids standing around in their underwear, while I understand it for the scene, you could have had them show up in bathing suits. I know that bathing suits don't really cover much more than underwear does, but still, it's a little different. So we get a montage of the gang all playing in the water before Bev and Bill share some looks with each other. And then Ben tries to get in this love triangle. We drop a turtle reference before we see each boy staring at each other, or staring at something. And it's Bev, in her underwear still. And the camera proceeds to linger on her chest, which is gross. Richie finds Ben's postcard and then finds his folder with the history of dairy information. More shots of Bev's ass. Gross, director. Stop doing that. This is our exposition scene, or at least the start of it, but thankfully, the movie does a really good job of giving this exposition without falling into terrible cliches and bad dialogue. We see that Patrick is now missing, as somebody is putting up a sign. Ben runs into his room, quickly grabs his nudie mags and underwear, and hides them in the closet before the rest of the gang arrives in his room. So he has a ton of newspaper clippings on the wall, kind of like he's a serial killer, or might be he's responsible for all of the disappearances. So using Ben's love of history is a great way to build up the town of Derry, as well as give a little backstory on Pennywise's past. But we don't get, his origin. We don't get fully understand what this creature is. You do if you read the book, obviously. But right now, all we know is that he obviously is not human, because we saw him grow giant sharp teeth earlier. But we do get that he's done this before. He's killed a bunch of people. We get a nice shot of him in a picture from way back in the day. We also get Bev slowly closing the door to reveal a New Kids on the Block poster, which makes Ben uncomfortable, but she opens it back up before anyone can see it. It's a nice little moment of levity. Cut to Eddie walking home when he stops in front of the well house. We don't know it's a well house yet, but fuck it. The door opens and we hear Pennywise call out to Eddie. Eddie grabs his pills but then drops them on the ground. As he's picking them up, another hand grabs the final pill, and it's a leper. He asks if any thinks it will help him. Here's a fun thing to think about. This is actually not Pennywise here. This is a projection. Pennywise is actually behind the house during all of this, which is why the leper never touches Eddie, just chases him. But Eddie runs to the back of the house and hits the fence. He turns around to see Pennywise with a giant triangle of balloons. Pennywise wants him to join him because they will all float down here. The balloons all pop and Pennywise is gone. We see that Bev somehow got the postcard. I don't remember how she got this. I've watched this movie twice. I do not remember how she got this card. I guess she snatched it from his room, maybe? But she heads to the bathroom to read it. She's very happy, but she won't be in a second. She hears someone call for help from her sink. Now, let me tell you something, Bevy. If your sink starts to talk to you, don't look into it. Don't go near it. Don't proceed to have a conversation with the voices coming from the sink, because that's not normal shit that happens every day. Don't do it. We hear the voices say that they're Veronica, Betty, and Jughead. I'm sorry, Patrick. So she should know that these are the names of the missing kids. But instead, she's like, fuck it, I'm gonna grab a tape measure. So she goes over and grabs a tape measure and extends it all the way down the pipe to see that it's 25 feet down. That's a long fucking pipe. A lovely deep pipe you have there, lady. As she brings it back up, she brings up bloody hair, which, you know, that's kind of her fault. But then the hair decides to wrap itself around her wrists and face, and it tries to pull her down into the drain before blood bubbles up and then sprays all over the fucking room, soaking it. She's screaming as her dad enters, but he can't see any of the blood. Bev's dad said he's worried about her and says her new haircut makes her look like a boy. So I guess he's not okay with banging her now? So I guess it worked, right? That was kind of her plan. We cut over to see that Bill was drawing a picture of Bev, but it's now ruined because there's water falling from his ceiling. He grabs a bucket from the hall, but a light in George's room goes on. Bill grabs a Lego turtle. By the way, I suppose I should mention why there's so many turtle references in this movie. It's a nod to the books again, and I think this is my last one I'm going to do. Because in the books... This is a deep dive. This is a nerd alert, by the way. So Pennywise has one main enemy because he's a part of this whole dimension of like supernatural beings and stuff like that. And in the Stephen King universe, the entire universe was birthed into creation by a giant turtle. I'm not joking, by the way. This is fucking Stephen King. This is what he did. All right. So this giant turtle birthed creation, made many other dimensions. And in this one dimension where the turtle lives, there's also a ton of other like fucking crazy shit. Pretty much everything that has ever been odd about any Stephen King book is birthed here. Like, fucking Cujo, fucking Frighteners shit. Everything, man. Everything that's crazy or supernatural, it comes from, like, this dimension. So Pennywise is just another member of this shit. And Pennywise's main enemy is this turtle that birthed creation. So yeah, so that's why there's so many turtle references in it. That I guess we'll close the book on that one. So Bill sees a shadow and follows it downstairs where he sees Georgie run past and into the cellar. Bill heads downstairs and sees that the basement is flooded. This is a really poorly designed house if you're leaking water from the roof and also from inside of your cellar. Georgie is standing in the corner. He says he is lost and that Billy should not be mad that he lost the boat. Georgie says that if he comes with him, Bill will float too. Georgie then keeps screaming this at him, "You'll float too, you'll float too," before his face starts to decay and his voice goes all fucking creepy. We see that Pennywise is actually using Georgie as a puppet, that he is actually attached to Pennywise's arm. Pennywise is also saying "You'll float too" and doing his little lazy eye routine. Pennywise then drops Georgie into the water and he fucking shatters. Pennywise then stands up and rushes at George while screaming and shaking his head violently back and forth. But then he trips and hits the stairs as Bill makes it out of the cellar. And then he slithers back away while his eyes roll into the back of his head. Really fucking effective scene. Now, this one's kind of hard because the water makes me think maybe they're close enough to a sewer line or that the sewer line is backed up enough that this is actually Pennywise that came out here and kind of did all this shape-shifting. But this could still be a projection because obviously, you know, he doesn't touch Bill at all. So I'm torn on this one. I'm not sure one way or the other. But if you know, email me or hit me up on Twitter and let me know what you think, if this is actually Pennywise doing this or if he's just projecting himself again. So Bev is on her balcony when she hears the boys arrive. Bev then shows them the blood-soaked bathroom, and the boys proceed to clean up the bathroom better than a fucking crime scene cleaners company could. Bev tries to see if Bill wrote the postcard, but is saddened to find out he did not. But Bill welcomes her to the Losers Club. Club is heading home when they stop to talk about what just happened. Bill talks about last night, while Eddie brings up the fact that he saw Pennywise. Ben and Stan both agree, but Richie has not been tormented by Pennywise, which I don't understand why he hasn't been. He never really does get the personal touch in this. I mean, he gets a little bit of it when they get to the well house, but he never got, like, one of these that we see from everybody else. Bowers is shoving Mike's face into a pile of meat. Mike looks over to see Pennywise eating a human arm. And then he uses the arm to wave at Mike in a, I guess it's supposed to be funny scene. I laughed, but I mean, I guess it's a dark laugh, but I love dark shit like that. Bowers is on top of Mike and about to smash his face in with a rock when Bev chucks a rock at Bowers. The losers all pick up rocks, and Richie yells, "Rock fight!" And then he's hit in the head with a rock. And he's fucking dead, because you cannot throw this many rocks at people and be alive and not be, like, have a concussion. But Anthrax plays as we get to watch a bunch of rocks hurled at kids. The bullies run off and leave Bowers by himself. He doesn't look very happy, as Rich tells him to go blow his dad. Cut to the Stand By Me kids walking near a train, and Richie welcomes Mike to the Losers Club. We see that Edward Corcoran has gone missing, and they just put up his missing poster over Betty's. So, yeah, apparently they're just like, well, she's fucking dead. Let's see if the next one can be found. But it was his arm that Pennywise was eating, so I don't know why they're even bothering with the missing people poster, because he's fucking dead. Ben then proceeds to lay out that Pennywise comes around every 27 years, so they just need to wait it out until Pennywise stops taking kids. Mike drops that maybe they see their four worst fears. I don't know how he jumps to this conclusion, but he does. So, from what we've seen so far, we know that Eddie is afraid of sickness, because he's like a hypochondriac. Stan is afraid of a picture on the wall, because yeah. Mike is afraid of getting burned alive because his parents died that way. Bev is afraid of blood instead of getting raped by her father. And Ben is afraid of headless kids, I guess. Or maybe he's afraid of Easter eggs. Don't know. Then Richie says that he's afraid of clowns. It's a bummer for you, bro. I mean, he's the easiest one to scare, and we'd never see him get scared. The club heads to a garage to look at some maps. They lay out a map of Old Derry over the sewer system, and they figure out that the sewers all meet up at the well house. Eddie then freaks out and rips the map off the wall. Suddenly, a projector starts going through different slides. It shows a couple different family photos before focusing on Georgie and the family, before it then starts focusing on the mother, whose hair is in her face. But this slowly changes over to Pennywise as it keeps going through quickly through the slides. The kids flip the fuck out, they kick over the projector, which clicks to show Pennywise very close, up close on the screen, before eventually flipping over to him not being in the scene anymore. Then it clicks to the next shot, and Pennywise is now huge and goes, rah, which is kind of comical. He backs Bev into a corner, but as soon as the kids open the garage door, his illusion is broken and he disappears. Because he's not really there, of course. Bev says thanks to Ben, then hugs Bill. Bill decides to go to Kneebowl Drive and the well house. So Bill's going to go by himself if they don't decide to come. So we get another shot of Silver, because reasons, as Bill reaches the well house. We also see a shot that nobody is behind him on the street, but suddenly then the rest of the club arrives like they weren't just not there a second ago. Bill gives a speech where he doesn't stutter once. I skipped this the second time because I don't need big grand speeches. But he talks about them all needing to be together and all that shit. So the team that they decide, because we're at like an RPG now where he got to choose his own team, is Bill, of course, Richie, that makes sense, and Eddie, which is not the best choice because he's asthmatic and he's fucking hyper. Especially when you've got Mike, who seems pretty fucking brave, Bev, who definitely seems like the best choice for this, don't bother with Stan because he's fucking useless. But so I guess at least they didn't bring him in there. Richie sees a missing poster with his face on it and his name. He flips out over it, but Bill tries to calm him down. Then they hear something upstairs. Someone is calling for help. Three boys walk upstairs and they see a woman lying on the ground, but she gets drug away. I don't know who this woman is. I don't know if it's supposed to be Betty again. It doesn't look like it. It's just some random one, but again, if we actually focused on the kids that fucking kept disappearing, maybe we'd feel a little bit something more and be a little more creeped out when fucking, like, Betty shows up. So, Eddie hears the leper again as it asks him what he's looking for, and I have no fucking clue why it keeps asking him this. It keeps saying, "What are you looking for, Eddie?" Like, I don't know what the fuck you're asking him that for. Like, what is he looking for? Eddie here, Bill and Richie enter the room where the woman was, and Eddie runs away, but the door slams before he can reach Bill and Richie. The floor opens up as a leper grabs Eddie's shoulders. Now it's Pennywise, of course. Eddie falls backwards and into the hole. He lands on a table and gets knocked unconscious. Richie hears something call him, and he sees someone in the other room, and it's Eddie. Which should not make sense to him, because you just saw him in the hallway. So how did he get from the hallway into this room, and why would he be like, "Hey buddy, come on over here, I got something for you." The door slams, locking Richie in this room. Richie turns around, and the room is filled with clowns. He turns around to see another clown in front of him, which spooks him, but, I mean, that would spook anybody. Richie then seems to instantly overcome his fear of clowns as he knocks on the face of one of them, so much so that, like, the little heartbeat thing that we keep hearing from him just, like, instantly flatlines. Like, he's just like, "Oh, okay, it's not that scary." If you're afraid of clowns, you're afraid of fucking clown dolls, too. He then sees a casket that opens and says, "Found," on it. As Richie walks up to the casket, he pulls off the sheet to reveal a doll dressed like him. So between this and the missing poster, it seems to suggest that Richie is actually afraid of dying. And not so much about clowns. I mean, he might have a little thing with clowns, but they definitely kind of hit it home that he seems to be more afraid of dying than anything. But as soon as he slams the casket closed, it opens again and Pennywise jumps out. He says, "Beep, beep, Richie," which is a book reference. I'm not going to get into it. Pennywise rushes him, but Bill is able to burst open the door and they escape. They are greeted in the next room by a mattress, which then births Eddie's head. It spits gross black fluid at them that seems to burn the floor. I don't know why it keeps using Eddie for this, but it is. Eddie wakes up and we see an arm come out of the fridge. We also have noticed then that Eddie has broken his arm. The door opens and it shows that Pennywise is contorted up inside. And he slowly comes out of the fridge, twisting his way and uncontorting himself until he stands in front of him. He then tells Eddie it's time to float, and slowly walks towards him, pretending not to be able to breathe. Bill and Richie see that there are now three doors instead of the one. One is marked scary, one is marked really scary, and one is marked not scary at all, which got a little laugh out of me in the theater. Pennywise gets in Eddie's face and pretends to bite him, and then mocks his crying. Richie and Bill open the not scary at all door, and they see Betty Ripsom hanging there with no legs, and she asks where her shoe is, which they know. I don't know why they didn't tell her. Richie then asks where her legs are. Bill says that this is not real. So we instantly are seeing now that Bill has completely overcome this whole, like, fear of what's going on here. And he started to figure it out. Because nothing is actually hurting them. Pennywise has even had a couple opportunities to just fucking grab him, and he's not doing it. So Bill is smart enough now to realize that, like, this is all just a show. But they go through the door again as Pennywise is about to bite Eddie's face off. They get downstairs to see Pennywise over Bill, over Eddie, but Eddie's okay. Pennywise is then pissed and says, "Is this not real enough for you, Bill?" And he is very pissed that Bill is fighting back. He lunges at him, but is then stabbed in the eye by Bev. He starts to cry, which was interesting, as blood floats up from his wound. Every time he gets stabbed in this movie, his blood floats, which I thought was a nice touch. He turns around to show that his face is now starting to come apart. His hands transform into claws and his mouth breaks open more, revealing more of his jagged teeth. He swings his face and the I guess I was going to say it's a pipe that's in his, it's not a pipe that's in his head though. It's like a bar from a fence. He uses that to slice Ben open, and then he backs away out of the room, which of course should be like, wait, where the fuck is he going? And Bill's smart enough to follow him, but of course, they need to help Eddie as he watches Pennywise go into the well. Richie then snaps Eddie's arm back into place. We cut over a quick scene with Eddie's mother shoving Eddie into the car, calling Bev a slut, and then driving off. Bill says that he saw the well, and they will be better prepared next time. Richie says that Ben is leaking hamburger helper, which I enjoyed. And then here's our big breakup of the gang scene, which you knew was going to happen at some point in time. We know we're going to break up, like, the gang up, and then they're going to get back together again. So, yeah. So Richie and Bill have a fight because Richie says that Georgie is dead, which is correct. I'm not going to get too much into this scene. But cut over to Bowers, who's shooting his father's gun. And then he wants to shoot a cat. But Henry's dad comes home before that he gets his chance to. He fires a few rounds at his son to scare him, which is a dick move. Eddie is back at the pharmacy to get his refills. Is her name Greta? Whatever the fuck that cunt's name was before. Tells Eddie that his pills are actually placebos. She says that she will sign his cast, and then proceeds to write loser on his arm. I'm not sure why she never gets eaten in this movie. She definitely fucking should. I hope in part two that she gets killed in a fucking horrible way. So Henry's all emo when he sees that there is a red balloon hanging out of his mailbox. He goes to see what it is and finds that it's a package. Really good hand acting here is with trembling hands he opens it to find it's his lost knife. I'm not sure where his friends then go because they're not in the rest of this movie. But Henry walks up and we then hear the kids show talking about clowns. And then the TV show tells him that Henry will float and he should kill his dad. Henry puts the knife to his dad's throat. The kids start to chant to kill him as Henry releases the blade, and we hear a, "Oh no!" Give him a big round of applause. And the kids cheer as Henry's dad bleeds out. And we now see that Pennywise is in the audience as the kids chant, "Kill them all," and Pennywise stares at him. Cut to Bev packing up. She tries to leave, but her dad stops her. He grabs her arm, asks if she's still his little girl. She struggles, kicks him in the head, and runs into the bathroom. She then hides in the shower, but when he opens the curtains, she cracks him in the head with a toilet tank cover. He hits the floor, and as she turns to get out of the tub, she turns to see Pennywise, who grabs her by the throat. So Bill arrives at their meeting spot, but of course Bev didn't show up because she's dead. So he heads to her house. He walks in to see her dad is still knocked onto the floor, which is really bad. I mean, this guy's gonna have some brain damage. If you're knocked out for more than like 10 minutes, you're fucked up. We see the message, "You die if you try," on the ceiling. Bill then gets Richie, Eddie, Mike, Stan, and Ben together. This scene and as well as the proceeding with Bev, I guess I do talk about it again, replaces Bev getting gang fucked from the book. So in the book, they need to come back together as a group after they have their little fight, and Bev suggests that they all rail her. So that's what happens in the book. You get a 13-year-old getting DP'd by a bunch of other 13-year-olds, and I guess taking a dick in each hole, and I don't know, maybe there's butt sex between the guys as well too. I don't fucking know. It's been a long time since I read the book, and that's a weird thing. But so I'm not really a fan of them turning Bev into the damsel in distress here, where she becomes the catalyst for it. I would have rather it been like, grab Stan or any of the other male members of the group, and they have to find them. But instead, nope. No, it's Bev. Yep. But I guess I would rather take that than, you know, getting an X-rated because you've got a bunch of 14-year-old actors fucking each other. So Eddie then stands up to his mother and says that she's been feeding him gazebos, which I enjoyed. Eddie runs off to join the group as they ride to the well house. We see that Mike has brought his killing bolt gun. Richie wants to use a broken bottle as a weapon, but that doesn't seem to work out very well. Bowers is seen watching the club enter the well house, so I guess his friends are dead? Sure. Stan doesn't want to go, but he's eventually coerced. It's another just like, we get it. You're a fucking chicken. We got it. Bev wakes up after some blood drips on her face, and you know, for someone who's afraid of blood, she sure doesn't seem to mind getting blood splattered in her face all that much. She stumbles around before taking in her surroundings. Now, there's a giant tower of, like, discarded bikes and assorted shit that are clearly just whatever the kids had on them at the time that he kills them. And we also see the Pennywise wagon from before. Surrounding the tower of shit is our missing children all floating in the air. These are apparently the nuts that the Pennywise squirrel is saving for the winter. We hear someone say, "Step right up, Beverly," and it introduces Pennywise the dancing clown. The wagon opens up, and Pennywise appears. He does this creepy fucking jig while staring daggers at her, and as she tries to run, he leaps out and grabs her. She says she's not afraid of him, and he tells her she will be before his face opens up to reveal a fucking million teeth and what Pennywise really is, which is just three glowing lights called the Deadlights. She floats into the air. As the Losers Club is trying to get down to the well, Bowers takes out the only black kid in this movie, and then Bowers starts to baa at them before he grabs the rope up. Henry then says he is sad that he couldn't burn a black family by himself. He then tries to kill Mike with a bolt gun, but Mike is able to move out of the way. Mike hits Bowers with a rock, which is his only weakness, and then knocks him down the well where he falls to his fucking death. Mike then puts his belt of bolts on the edge of the well, which of course causes them to fall. Pennywise then scares the shit out of Stan as he walks off like a moron. Eddie realizes that Stan is gone then at this point, and the rest of the club go to try to find him. Stan hears a bunch of noises before he sees that crazy woman again, and he screams. Club finally arrived to see Stan getting his fucking face eaten up by a woman. She releases him and backs off. She ducks behind a pipe before popping back in as Pennywise to, I guess, fuck with him. This was unintentionally funny to me, because it was like, she ducks away, and he's just like, yeah. So Stan is mad at them, but you know what? You walked away by yourself, buddy. So then Bill sees George again, and despite his grand speech saying they need to stay together, he walks up by himself. The rest of the club thankfully follows as Bill arrives in Pennywise's lair. He sees Bev floating there in the air and tries to pick up her dress. Then he sees George again, and of course, he leaves her ass. Because, you know, I'm sure she'll be fine. There's not a fucking murderous clown running around here trying to eat people. I'm going to go follow what's clearly not my brother and just leave her and hopefully she'll be okay. Eddie falls and loses his flashlight before a bunch of severed heads float up in the water. So that's where he left those, I was wondering. The club arrive and see Bev, and they actually choose to help a living person. They grab Bev and bring her back down to the ground. And then Ben proceeds to make out with her to snap her out of it, and she does. Bev then realizes that Ben wrote the postcard, but of course, because he's fat, she doesn't care. Eddie notices that Bill is standing there. Georgie approaches, missing his arm and holding his boat. Georgie says he wants to go home. Bill says he wants Georgie to come home too, but he knows this isn't Georgie, and then he shoots his brother in the fucking face. Which I really enjoyed. This was a heartwarming scene. The actor that they got to play Georgie did a fucking fantastic job in this movie. I know his screams of when he got his arm ripped off could have been a little bit better, but the rest of the movie, he just does such a good job. So anyways, Georgie starts to convulse, and his arm starts to grow back as he morphs back into Pennywise, in kind of a comical way, which I didn't like as much, but Pennywise gets up, his eyes come back together as Mike reminds us that the gun is not loaded. But Bill shoots anyways, but apparently this was enough to, like, remind Pennywise that he just got shot in the head, even though he was shapeshifted into something else, because his head kind of blows up a little bit, but then it's right back to normal. Bev and Mike both try to hit Pennywise, but are thrown off. Like I said before, you could have chose Mike, but no, you chose Eddie. The gang all jump on Pennywise, but he throws him off, and Pennywise then grabs Bill. He says that he will take him and eat them all. Or he'll just take Bill and let them all go. Bill tells him to leave, and Richie tells him that he doesn't want to die, that this is all Bill's fault. He punched him in the face, he made him walk through shitty water, he brought him to a crackhead house, and now he's gonna kill this fucking clown. And you get him, Richie! Richie welcomes him to the Losers Club with a baseball bat to the face. They all start to take swings at Pennywise, and Pennywise keeps trying to use their fears against him. He, like, sends a bunch of burnt arms over at Mike. He tries to use the woman's face again on Stan. But Ben is able to stab him in the back before Pennywise's face turns into the mummy? I guess Ben's afraid of the mummy? Alright, sure. But Bill hits him with a chain, which breaks the spell a little bit. Pennywise then throws up on Mike's, who screams, "I'm gonna fucking kill you." Then Bev's dad starts to taunt Bev before she slams a pipe down his throat. Now, the pipe then suddenly, like, disintegrates into water, which I thought was really fucking weird. And then the rest of the scene, Pennywise sounds like he's choking on water. And Bill tells him that they're not afraid of him anymore. Pennywise jumps over into a hole, and then his head starts to break apart, and he lets go after saying, "Fear." Bill hugs Bev as the dead kids start to float down. Too bad we don't know if they were ever recovered, because these kids are not mentioned at all. Bill finds George's raincoat and breaks down crying. The club all hug him, and the movie ends. Oh wait, no it doesn't. It should have, because that would have been a great ending to the movie of them all just kind of hugging him as one, but no. Instead, we get this dumb tacked on ending to set up part two. The club is all sitting around a field in September. Bev says she had a dream about them as adults fighting Pennywise again, also known as a trailer for part two. Bill cuts their hands and they stand around in a circle, all having contracted AIDS. They agree to come back for part two in 27 years to finally kill Pennywise, and the gang then all gradually leave, leaving only Bill and Bev. She says she's moving to Portland, Maine, and Bill makes out with her as the movie ends, and we see it says It, Chapter 1. So, yep. They were going to make the second one. And, of course, because of the fact that we didn't know how well this movie was going to do, we proceeded to not make the second one right off after making the first one. So now they have to make it again. So it's probably going to be another year and a half to 2 years before we get Chapter 2 of It. But this movie is making a lot of fucking money. And we know there's going to be a second one. And we're already working on signing everybody. So hopefully we'll see some movement on that very soon, and we'll start filming very quickly as well. But with that, that's what I'm going to leave you with here. Make sure to stay subscribed here. I know that was a longer than expected hiatus, but I am back, and I will be bringing you content hopefully once a week, at least every other week. So keep it here and keep checking back. But until then, bye-bye.